between chapter 5 and chapter 6, there was a six-month period. Between verses 15 and 16, there is only one day. In fact, it's the same day when we get to this verse 16. There's the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus, remember, was out on the mountainside, and the multitude came to him because they had seen the miracles that he did in Galilee. And they came to him, and there was a lack of food. There was no food until they discovered one little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, then he fed them. They wanted to make him king. He wasn't ready for that. He's going to get king one day, but not then. And so he walked away back to the mountain. And we find that he's going there to pray. He's going there to rest. And he'll be probably getting away from the mob because they were going to take him to Jerusalem. Well, all of that is to say, we now come to the walking on the water and the events that lead up to it and that emanate from it. First of all, you see the private sign to the disciples. Other people did not see this sign. It was for the disciples only. Remember, they had a problem. They needed to know that this is really the Christ. And that takes some doing. You ever go to a magic show to see a magician do his thing? After you went to one, did you want to go to another one? Sure. Oh, yeah, how do they do that? No, there's some trick here. Well, of course there was, because he's not magic. But that kind of thing enthralls us. So we go and we look. How do they do it? That's what they're doing him. That's what they did with Jesus. How did he do that? Oh, he's out there to heal people. And they miss what happened behind it. They miss the point of it. And we'll see today, same thing. So they have their directions, verses 16 and 17. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Now, the same day. That's the same day of the feeding of the 5,000. It was getting late when he started feeding the 5,000. But now, he says it was evening, when evening came. Well, what's evening? I remember when some families from the south moved up to where I lived in Delaware, and they talked about, they'd say, this evening I'm going to do so-and-so. And I thought, well, they mean 7 o'clock, that's evening. No, they meant any time in the afternoon. Different folks have different ways of talking. Well, the Jews had two periods called evening. They had the early evening, which is from 3 to 6. Then they had a later one from 6 to dark. This was that later one from 6 to dark. It was evening. And they, according to Jesus' directions, they're going to head back to Capernaum. He wanted to get them out of there too. None of this king stuff at this point. So there was that. And then there was darkness. The directions now the darkness. Verse 17, he says, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. They really thought that, oh, he sent for us to go, but he'll probably be here. He didn't come. So they decided to get in the boat and go. And, of course, the reason they didn't take the land route was because that's mountainous there, remember, at the top of the Sea of Galilee. It was mountainous, so it's better just to go right across on the boat. And they had a boat, and they had a sail. It wasn't all rowing. They had a sail, and no doubt were using that. Then, that's the darkness. Now the dread. The sea arose because of a great wind that was blowing. I've been on that lake 2 or 3 times. One time, well, we didn't get any storms, fortunately. I'm the Navy man. Never been aboard ship. Never was attached to a ship. winds began to blow. The wind was contrary to them, blowing from west, apparently. And they had to put down the sail, of course. And then they had to start rowing. It's nothing new to them, but they were fishermen. They've been out there all the time. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, it says, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Of course, they didn't know it was Jesus. John's writing this years later, said it was Jesus, but they didn't know that then. So they saw somebody walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat, and they were afraid. On one of my trips, we were riding along just in the middle of the afternoon. We were sitting down looking, oh, isn't it beautiful? All of a sudden, somebody said, hey, look out there. There's a guy walking on the water. It was the leader of the group. He was going to show us that here's where Jesus walked on the water. It got our attention. But thus, it wasn't as good for them. They didn't know who it was. They didn't know what it was. Mark says they thought it was a phantom. And maybe some kind of a ghost that was there. And Matthew records, remember that Matthew said, Peter said to Jesus, if it's you, Lord, let me come out there and walk with you. Boy, that took some doing. But Jesus said, okay, come on. And he walked, got out of the boat, walked over to Jesus. Now, someone wrote a book. If you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. Excellent book. If you're going to follow Jesus, you got to get out there and follow him. You got to do something. Well, that's him. And this, but that's in Matthew. John doesn't record that here. So Jesus said to them, "It is I. Be not afraid." Don't you like that good English? It is I. I heard about a little boy one time who was in a play, and he was Jesus walking on the water. And he got a little mixed up. Here he comes to wait for he was supposed to say his one line. And he said, "Don't be scared, it's me." Well, I think I thought about how I'd be saying it too. But that's, don't be afraid. It's not. And apparently they understood his voice. They said, oh, it's Jesus. And they were calmed, and they received him. Verse 21 says, and they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. That is, they were at Capernaum. So the distance was decreased. They were out there laboring. Wouldn't it be something if Jesus came on the boat and then they had to keep on rowing? No. Well, didn't happen that way. Jesus got them there immediately. Now, there's no indication they had some flying sensations or whatever. I read one commentary where a man said, and Jesus got on the boat. He didn't have any of the spray on him. He was dry as could be. I don't believe that. I think he was wet. He was in the water. Well, just be careful how you make him some superhuman. He was human. And he was God. But he was walking on the water in a rainstorm and wind blowing. He was wet like everybody else there. Anyway, so they were there, and didn't have to keep on rowing. I'm sure they were tired. So that was the private sign for the disciples only. And then the rest of our section here is the public sermon for the Jews. By the way, I meant to mention this, that I borrowed much from John Phillips' outline on this one. He's a good outliner. And I try to stay away from him, but I can't this time. In any case, the public sermon of the Jews, that was my line, 22-24. Now, the astonishment of the multitudes, 22-25. Remember, they wanted to make him king. They wanted to take him down to Passover and make him king because of his the feeding of the 5,000. And they didn't seem to know something. They didn't seem to know that there has to be a cross before there can be a kingdom. It was in the Bible. It was in their Old Testament. There was an in Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, as well as Zechariah 9:9. He's going to return, yes. It's all in the Bible. It's all in the Old Testament. And it reminded me of this, that when you make a prediction about something, when you establish a doctrine, make sure that you establish on the whole Scripture, not just one passage, not just one verse. And that's why I don't preach a verse here and a verse here and a verse here and a verse here. The Bible wasn't written that way. The Bible was written as we're doing it here. Now, as long as you get your context right, that's one thing. That's the main thing. So, he's saying that, well, for instance, let's see, is God sovereign, or is man, does man have free will? Yes. Yes. God is sovereign, and man does have free will. There's one God. There are three who are called God. And people get into all kinds of strange things. You become a monotheist over here. Oh, there's one God. It says so right here, Deuteronomy 6. Others say, well, then Jesus couldn't be God. So we'll be Jehovah's Witnesses. There will be different things. And when you ignore one thing, that's it. The disciples were walking after the resurrection. The disciples were walking along. And Jesus talked to them about their problem. And then he says, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's it. That was what was wrong here. They forgot Isaiah 53 and a lot of other scriptures. So the missing Christ was their problem. There was no boat except the disciples' boat. The following day, this is the next day after the feeding of the 5,000, when the people who were standing on the other side, that is on the east side where the feeding of the 5,000 happened, the east side of the sea had been that there was no other boat there except the one which the disciples had entered. And what they're saying is, the next day they're saying, we remember there was only one boat here, and that's the one the disciples got into. Jesus didn't get into that boat. So he's still here. So they kept on looking around for him. He says in verse 22, says that Jesus had not entered the boat with the disciples. His disciples had gone away alone. So, if there's only one boat and it's gone and Jesus wasn't on it, guess what? Jesus is here. That's all they have. So, let's find him and make him king. They were still on that kick. Then they got into their boat, another boat from the Tiberius, and says, verse 23 says, however, other boats came from Tiberius, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got in boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. So, there's a missing Christ. Then there's also a mystified crowd, verse 25. And then when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus ignored the question. He never once gave any answer to that. The walking on the water was for the disciples alone. Nobody else needed to hear that. We get in on it. But not those people. And it was a message for them. Period. Then the assessment of the master, 26 to 29. Their carnal nature. He comes out back at them. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. See, he begins his answer with, amen, amen. He uses that four times in this passage. And he says, verily, verily, King James says, verily, verily. Other people say, assuredly, I say to you, whatever. But he's putting that ahead of what he's going to say to let them know, this is the truth. Well, ever listen to Charles Stanley? Every once in a while he'll say, listen. So, listen. And then whatever he says that is what he wants to hear. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. You listen to me. The signs. He said you came because of the signs. Now, not just the feeding of the 5,000, but all the signs he did in Galilee. And he said, you came because you saw the signs. Then he concentrates on the bread later. Then they were thinking, physical bread. Their physical bodies. They saw wonders and signs, not signs. They saw wonders. Oh, it's a wonder. This is the magician thing. They saw, oh, look what he's doing. This is the great. Let's go see. Come on, see the show. No, he was not doing it for that. The signs were of his messiahship. I'm the one who is supposed to come. The Bible in the Old Testament says he'll do this and this and this and this. And you missed it. What you saw was the food that you could eat. That's all you had. So, they're like, I think back in the 60s, they had the term Rice Christians. Missionaries went to, back in maybe referring back to the 1600s. And the missionaries went to China, and they gave out rice, gave rice and rice and rice. And the people kept coming back. Oh, you get a crowd. And they realized that they were rice Christians. They came to get the rice. Well, these people came to get the bread. That's all they saw. So, they were concentrating on the illustration, not on what was being taught. Oh, that's wonderful. I was preaching in a church when I was in college. I was older, 10 years older than the average one. And they often said, go down and preach here, preach there. And I preached in this church. And I got used to, at that time, preaching in missions. And I felt like, hey, I'm gonna move around here because I'll provide a moving target for these people. And I was doing something more moving then. I don't think I'll worry about you. Anyway, I was doing that, and I had an illustration on that message. And it was about an oak tree. I said, the troubles that come to you, they have you, give you problems. And I said, there's an oak tree. It's over on the hillside. And it's weird. And all the time, it's becoming bigger and bigger because it's getting exercise. At the end of the service, a lady came up to me and said, that was a wonderful illustration. I hope she got the point, but all she remembered apparently was the illustration. Well, fine. Illustrations are good. We need them. We need to paint a vivid picture of what we're trying to teach. And Jesus was doing that, a vivid picture, but they missed. They missed the point. So, they never understood with their hearts. They handled it with the bread with their hands. They ate it with their mouths. But they never heard it with their hearts. That's the important thing. They were filled. It says they were filled. And the word used, it means like an ox. You ate like ox. Well, you see, you eat like a pig. Well, they were eating like oxen because the chorizo, which comes from the word quartos, which means fodder. You ate like fodder. Well, anyway, his point is, no matter how you ate it, you didn't learn what you're supposed to learn. So that was their carnal nature. All they saw was the carnal part. And then there's a crying need. The crying need is in verses 27 and 29. says work for food which perishes, but work for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God has, the Father, has set his seal on him. It starts off with a big problem. It is not works that you do, it is work. Not work. Don't work for food that perishes. Do not make your chief concern the work, your belly. And he defines the difference between the two breads. The bread, the one time, one bread, is you eat it and then it's gone. It perishes. And the other one remains for eternal life. It produces life and salvation here and hereafter. That's the key. So, by faith, we eat this food and we have and we enjoy eternal life. The Son of Man will give it to you, he says. Now, just as he gave you the physical food yesterday, if they remember that. So he stays away from the term Messiah, the Son of Man. Because once you say Messiah, you're saying, oh, he's going to come deliver us from Rome. Let's get him, make him king. No, didn't want that. Son of Man. That links him with the human race, with you, with all of you. And he can do this, he says, because the Father has put his seal on him. God put his stamp of approval on the Son. That's him. The Father says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. It's like the, remember the good housekeeping seal? You look at everything you got, you look at the good housekeeping seal. If it's not there, don't do it. Don't touch it. Well, there's a higher stamp than that. There's no higher stamp than the stamp that the Father gives the Son. You demand that on every doctrine. If someone comes to you with a doctrine, you say, where is it in the Bible? I want to see the stamp of approval. I want to see what God says about it. Don't just take someone's word for it. I had a person who was concerned about or considering working with the college here, maybe with a branch somewhere. And he said, I don't agree with your doctrinal statement totally. He didn't agree with that thing at all. Just this nitpick, forget it. There's no stamp of approval on your doctrine. Find that stamp. It is Jesus' stamp. And then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What would you say? Not works. Work. You missed it. The work of God. Then he says, they've forgotten. See, they've forgotten the free gift of yesterday. How did he get, he's teaching all the time with that passing out the loaves. What did you pay for it? Nothing. What did you do for it? Nothing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The word of life, the food, the manna, that is free. You want to do something for it? You can't do anything for it. They've forgotten the free gift. So Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. The major error was works. No, works. Work. This is the work of God. You want to do something for God? Do this work. And that work is believe on Jesus, whom he sent. They will have more to say about this when we come to next week. They're going to find fault with that. But Jesus fed the 5,000 with physical food. There were lessons to be learned. Now, he didn't have somebody here to say, here's, you learn this, this, this. Didn't have that. But the lessons are clear. God can supply all your need. That's an impossible task, but God can do it. Whatever your need, God is up to the task. He will do it. Not your way, His way. Not go buy some things and all that, no. He'll do it His way, whatever that is. Then it's free. You can't pay God to get Him to do it. After He does it, that's another thing, but it's still not a part of the deal. It's free. And it lasts forever. You don't sit around and worry, oh, did I do the right thing? Can I do this? I did that wrong. Am I still saved? No. If that's all you're doing, if you're wondering about whether you're going to keep saved, then that's all you'll do. I'm watching this, I'm doing this, and whatever we do to keep from losing your salvation. You can't lose it. And so, do it God's way. It's free. And it lasts forever. Free lasts forever. And it has God's stamp of approval. The Father's stamp of approval. That He is the right one. Now, warning. There should be a warning label. It will be copied. There will be all kinds of people out there making up their own thing. Oh yeah, they had Jesus. Oh, Jesus is there. He's not really God, but He's there. He's a good teacher, good prophet. Oh yeah, we love Jesus. No, He's not God. That kind of thing. Make sure that you have the genuine food. And it comes only through Jesus. All others are